been in the green room every year. I don't know where else you can go. Like, what other
options? I know,
options?
But you're usually stealth, man. You hear rumors that you were there, and then I don't see you.
Well, you know, when you have a client, you know, I look at these clients as my kids. You see them from the beginning to the end. And the end was the moment that they get drafted.
Rick Bucher. Bucher.
So when you gave Josh that big hug, did you say, okay, little bird, it's time for you to fly away? Was it?
You know what, Rick Dicker? We're going to keep this show PG. We're going to keep this.
This is the BJ Armstrong and Rick Bucher Show, starring BJ and Bucher.
Welcome to the 43rd episode of the BJ and Bucher podcast. I am Rick Bucher. He is BJ Armstrong. And BJ, we did actually, for the first time, we were in the same locale when it came to an NBA event, unlike the draft or the finals or some of the other places that we've been and never actually physically ran into each other. We did run into each other in Las Vegas, and it seemed as if Las Vegas was treating you very well, but I haven't talked to you since the end of Summer League. So did you accomplish everything that you hoped to accomplish while being in Las Vegas?
Well, not everything that I hoped to accomplish, but overall, Rick, I was very pleased with Summer League, especially for this year's rookie class. You know, there are some very talented first-year players and second-year players that you saw, and I thought it was a great turnout for Summer League, thanks to the Laker fans. I mean, they came out and they just came out and so really supported the Lakers and supported Summer League this year. It had to be one of the highest, you know,
yeah,
attended events,
out.
Yeah, that I've seen since I've been attending Summer League. But I think overall, I was very pleased, and it was great to see these young players and how talented they really are.
Okay, so you and I have a different role in the business. Where were you staying? The Four Seasons? Were you staying at the Wynn, the area? Where
You're really
were you?
Always concerned about where I'm staying. I've been noticing that over the last couple of months. You're really concerned about what I'm saying.
Well, I want to make sure you're taken care of. I want to make sure you're living the lifestyle that is appropriate for BJ Armstrong, three-time NBA champion. I don't want to think you're scuffling. So what was it? Was it the Four Seasons?
I was in Vegas.
No. What? See, why are you embarrassed?
Was that confirmation?
Why are you embarrassed to admit that you are she? What? Hey, bad and bougie.
I was in Vegas. I was there suffering through the 115 degree weather just like everyone else.
So you're not gonna tell us where you stay?
No, I do business with a lot of hotels there. I do business with a lot of hotels. I hold a lot of meetings at a lot of different places.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. All right. So the four seasons.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I'm not in Vegas anymore. So why are you asking me that?
Fair enough. All right. So I'll ask a question that I'm hoping that you'll answer, which is among the young stars that you saw, who impressed you the most? And for point of, you know, clarification and just being above board, Josh Jackson with the Phoenix Suns, number 4 pick, is a client of BJ Armstrong's.
Yes.
So I thought we should disclose that at the top.
I'll say this about this year's class. You know, there are some players that really can affect the game. And when I mean affect the game, I think they're going to have some impact on whether they can score the ball, whether they can pass the ball, or defend or rebound, which are significant contributions to any team. You know, when you look at scoring, I thought Jason Tatum was, you know, he showed glimpses of, you know what, he's going to be able to score the ball. At what capacity, to what degree, hey, only time will tell as he begins to transition playing against bigger, stronger, more athletic players in the NBA as compared to Summer League. When you look at passing the ball, I thought Lonzo Ball really showed a flair for moving the ball ahead, moving the ball, getting the ball to the right person at the right time. You know, this kid, Dennis Smith of Dallas, terrific one-on-one player at the point guard position, which is a position now where you see a lot of scoring
right.
lead guards in the NBA. You know, Josh Jackson, who I work with, you know, I try to always look at it with a clear lens. I thought Josh was terrific, being able to play the entire game on both sides of the ball.
Right.
You know, defensively, you know, he matched up 1 through 4.
Right.
And he was very consistent doing that. He was able to score the ball. He was able to pass the ball. He was able to rebound the ball. So I really loved what he was able to con- you know, his contribution to the game, because I think it's going to be a significant contribution in the overall and what it and affects the bottom line, which is when you find a player who can defend, rebound, and pass,
yeah,
and then you add a little scoring to that, I think you're going to have a magnificent player. So I thought he was terrific. But, you know, you look at the kid Swanigan from Portland. I thought he did an excellent job of rebounding the ball and getting a double-double. He was just very solid throughout the week. And, of course, one kid, John Collins, from Wake Forest, you know, he really showed glimpses with his athletic ability, and he would look like some type of hybrid player. Who I think is going to, you know, that's today's player. He's an athletic kid. He's around 6'8 or so. And I thought he did an excellent job. So there were a lot of players that, you know, really played well and really showed things that I'm really interested to kind of follow their career. And those are just, you know, just a few to, you know, just a few names that I thought stood out. But there were a lot of good young players and young talented players that I saw there.
I'm glad you brought up Dennis Smith. One, I saw at one point Josh Jackson taking on the assignment of trying to slow down Dennis Smith, which for a guy who's probably a three in this league, I thought was a welcome sight. Just somebody not trying to avoid a matchup, but willing to embrace it. I don't know whether that was the coach's decision or whether it was his, but he was one guy who never wanted to come out of the game. Didn't matter what the score was. Phoenix wasn't in a lot of games. He never wanted to come out, and I thought that was a good sign. Dennis Smith intrigues me for this reason, and I wanted to get your take on this. Can Dennis Smith, once he is with Harrison Barnes and Dirk Nowitzki and Wes Matthews and all those guys, when you put them alongside him, I'd say even the same thing with Jason Tatum playing alongside Gordon Hayward and Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford and you know, all of those mouths that need to be fed, can they be as impactful? How much can you take from what they did in Summer League and say, this will translate if they're not playing the same role?
I look at Summer League and I always look at the three things that affect the bottom line. What's this kid's ability to defend his position? What's this kid's ability to rebound at that position? And how is he distributing or passing the ball from his position? And the reason I ask that is because every coach, and I've never met a coach that didn't want to win a game. And if you're going to win a game in the NBA, you must do those three things. You know, Dennis Smith showed you things offensively, his ability to get, not only get to the basket, but finish with his right and left hand. Shot the ball well from three. But out of all the positions that I've seen that you transition from college to the NBA or high school or what have you, the most difficult one is the point guard position. Because of what you said, there are a lot of players that you have to take care of before you can actually get to yourself. And, you know, he's going to have the delicate balance of learning how to score from his position along with, because he has an ability to do that. Let's make no doubt about it.
Sure.
This kid can score the basketball. But he's going to also have to learn how to manage a game, manage clock, manage coaches, manage personalities. And then, by the way, figure out how to score the basketball and do all those things. So I very rarely place a lot of emphasis on what I see from the point guard position in the summer, because of the nature of that position. And if there's one position that I feel most comfortable evaluating, it's that point guard position. So all the great guards have ever played in this league will share with you the difficulty of transitioning from college to pros, and more importantly, learning how to manage the personalities that you see in the NBA and having it translate to winning basketball. So,
all right, before we move on to the second quarter, very quickly, want to acknowledge the fact that Scott Perry, I would say a friend of the podcast, was a guest of episode 36 of the podcast.
If you want to be a GM in this league, you should come on the BJ and Bucher podcast, because it happens here.
Yeah, why not? We've only had one GM on the podcast. He was out of work when we had him on. He'd just been let go by the Orlando Magic, hadn't actually ever been a GM, was then moved into the GM position with the Sacramento Kings in a matter of days after appearing on the podcast, and then after helping transform, I mean, having the Sacramento Kings having the, arguably the best 3 months of their, I don't know if it's their existence, but certainly in the last number of years, in a great draft, great acquisition of some veteran players, Scott Perry has now been hired to be the GM of the New York Knicks. And I would expect that this is going to have a huge positive effect on the Knicks. My only hesitation is the fact that James Dolan still owns the New York Knicks. And much like Dan Snyder with the Washington Redskins or any number of owners who do not have a great track record, I hope that does not undercut Scott, because I know he's capable. I know he's fully capable, and I'm excited that he's getting this opportunity. But ultimately, it starts at the top, and I am concerned about that aspect of it.
Well, I'm just so excited for our good friend Scott Perry. It's been a long time coming. He's had so much success and experience in this league, all starting with the Detroit Pistons and the success and championship that they won there, and then goes down to Seattle. And then from Seattle, he goes to Orlando, actually goes back to Detroit, and then down to Orlando. So, and now he's there, lo and behold, the general manager of the Knicks. And I think it's a big task. I think everything that has happened there in New York over the last couple of years has been well documented. You know, in any situation, you know, you had to work hard. Certainly check that for Scott, you know, very confident in what he does. Check that for Scott. And you need a little luck. And certainly when you work hard with talented people, sometimes you can create a little luck for yourself. So we'll see. And you never know how things will turn out. But we all know that winning covers a multitude of sins, and we're rooting for him. But certainly he has a big challenge ahead of him. I think he understands that. And certainly he's not going to back away from that challenge. And we'll be rooting for him here to get things turned around.
All right, so let's move to the second quarter. Very quickly, let's cover the Lonzo Ball Las Vegas Summer League MVP. The Lakers win the championship, even though Lonzo did not play in the championship game, did not play in the fourth quarter when they pulled out a win over the Dallas Mavericks, I believe it was, had a big lead, dwindled down to one, and then they pulled it out while Lonzo was on the bench with a strained calf or some sort of a calf issue. So I just ask you this. When it comes to the hype surrounding Lonzo Ball, I don't know how to frame this exactly, because I immediately think, well, no, the hype has been so tremendous. There's no way that he could have met the hype in Summer League. He's already supposed to have his uniform retired. So let me start here. It's one thing for LaVar Ball, the dad, to be selling Wolf tickets and saying all kinds of things about being better than Jordan and better than Steph already and greatest of all time and all that stuff. Because it's dad. Okay, we can dismiss that. When Magic Johnson says, I expect that your jersey is going to be retired and up there next to mine, I'm thinking, Magic, how can you do this to the kid?
Let's stop right there.
Okay.
I'm going to refer to him Magic. It's like three people that I know there when I talk to Magic. You know, there's Magic Johnson, whom we're talking about now.
Okay.
Magic Johnson was the incredible Hall of Fame basketball player that was the lead guard, point guard, the magician for Showtime.
Okay.
That's who we're talking about now.
Okay.
Then there's Irving Johnson.
Okay.
You know, Irving Johnson is the businessman, you know, father, husband, son, you know. And then there's the guy that no one really talks about that when I first met him, they referred to him as Young Buck. Buck was this young, incredibly athletic kid who just had a flair for, you know, just a raw talent. Mm-hmm. And we all called him Young Buck when I first met him. Now he's in a different position as general manager. This is his first year on the job.
Come on,
Rick,
BJ.
He's
been a coach. He's been around this game forever.
He's
some neophyte. Magic has been around. He was a part owner of the Lakers.
That means
all the time that he spent as a player to understand the pressure that goes along with being a young player and looking at Lonzo Ball and looking at the fact that he spent 1 year at UCLA. That wasn't the case for Magic. Magic came out as a much more mature person and player than Lonzo Ball. And I just looked up his Twitter account. He's been on Twitter since February 2011. God knows he's made enough mistakes, enough crazy pronouncements on Twitter If anybody should know, maybe I should hold my fire a little bit and not say something like this kid's going to have his, I expect this kid to have his jersey retired. It should be Magic Johnson. I don't think you have to sit in that GM seat to realize that's not something you put on a kid. You've never sat in the GM spot. I dare say, even as the assistant GM, the first time you went into the front office, you weren't going to make some crazy pronouncement like that.
Again, I'm going to say this, Rick. I've seen a lot of things. It's a new time and it's a new era. There's one thing to say what you would do and wouldn't do if you were in that position. It's another thing when you're sitting there. There's a scary thing that's happening in sports right now, and it's called change. And what I want to do as a 50-year-old is not look at sports from the same lens that I looked at it when I was 20 years old. It's a different time. It's a different era. People say things now that I just go, huh? And I, okay. A lot of times I don't quite understand how we do things. But because I am part of this change, I listen and I learn as I go along. I don't want to be the old person that says back when we did it, we never would have said anything like that. Maybe Irving knows something that you and I don't know, Rick, because certainly sounds like you wouldn't have said it. For sure, I wouldn't have said it, but maybe he knows something that you and I don't know. So let's go with it.
But here's the thing. This is the thing, BJ. If Magic Johnson wants to pull Lonzo Ball aside at one point, and there may be some people who even disagree with this, but if at some point Magic wants to sit down with Lonzo Ball and say, hey, you know what, son? I've seen your talent. I think you got the chance to be one of the all-time greats. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But when you announce it to the world...
See, what's wrong with saying it? If you have the guts, the courage to say it. I'm not saying that that's my style or your style, clearly. But it is understood to everyone that's drafted in those positions, that's what's expected of you. So from that standpoint, why are we going to run from it? I did not draft LeBron James to be a role player. And I don't think anyone should expect to be a role player that's drafted in those positions. And if you're not able to handle that responsibility, then you shouldn't be there.
So they made a mistake not telling D'Angelo Russell that he was going to be, that he should have his jersey retired. Brandon Ingram last year, they made a mistake and they forgot to tell him, hey, by the way, Brandon, you're the number two pick in the draft. And so you should be one of the all-time greats.
One of the things that's so underappreciated in team sports that we haven't even pinpointed is leadership. And great leaders let everyone know what's expected of them the day they walk in the door. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I agree with what Irving said. I'm not saying I agree with it. But I will say this. It's clear as day of what's expected of this young man from the first day he walked in the door. You know, how many times, Rick, have you done interviews and be like, well, I don't know what the coach expects of me. It just seems like it's crazy around here. Well, I can tell you this. Lonzo Ball can't say that. I can tell you the Lakers.
No, we can't.
I can tell you this.
No, we can't.
The leadership from Irving. Now, whether we agree with it or not, we can have this conversation and that can go on. But I can tell you this. No one's walking around the Laker facility asking what's going on. How many times have you said, Rick, what's going on here? What direction are they taking? Where are they going? Are they going young? Are they going old? Who are they playing? What are they doing? There is no misunderstanding from what's going on from the Lakers organization.
That's right. They're trying to get LeBron James.
Oh!
All right. It's halftime. Oh. Yeah. I'm just drop that bomb and keep on walking. It's now time for Shane Freeman, our producer, to provide us with our halftime entertainment. Enjoy.
What are you doing? It's just a halftime.
Yes, this is my favorite part of the game.
All right, guys, the halftime break on the BJ and Bucher podcast. I'm Shane. I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. All right, our halftime break on the BJ and Bucher podcast is all about paying homage to the hip-hop greats. All right, and this is one of the greats, probably one of the greatest. This is Grandmaster Flash, and this is his record, The Message. Now, this song was one of the first songs ever released in hip-hop music. So if you don't know this record, then you don't know hip-hop, because this started the culture. This really did kick the culture off, especially for a guy like me. The song was released in 1979. It's kind of long, so kind of bear with it, but listen to the lyrics because it's still relevant today. All right, we'll see you in the third quarter.
Broken glass everywhere, people.
On the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the fuses blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and dangle. Was her gone print to seem to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Me on King Kong, standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, call, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, cause they hate the places you play and where you stay. Looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you wanna grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me.
All right, hope you enjoyed that. I know that I did. It's now time for the third quarter, and you know what time it is. It's winning time for the Bucher. That's right. It's trivia challenge time, and I can't even count at this point how many victories I have. I just know that it's a lot and that I am on a winning streak. So let's see if BJ Armstrong, one more time, Sisyphus, as I like, I'm going to begin to call you, because you keep rolling that ball all the way up the hill, and then just when you think you know, it's coming back down. So here we go. In 2013, which team won the Las Vegas Summer League Championship? Sacramento Kings, Golden State Warriors, Boston Celtic, Minnesota Timberwolves.
2013. Say that again. Say it slower. Sacramento Kings.
In 2013.
No, just the choices.
Sacramento Kings, the Golden State Warriors, the Boston Celtics, or the Minnesota Timberwolves.
2013. I'm going to say Minnesota.
It would be the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, that's what is that? What was that with Draymond?
I believe that was with Draymond. I think that was his first year.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's right. I remember that. All right.
What do you have for me?
In 2009, Anthony Morrow set an NBA Summer League single game scoring record by dropping how many points in the Warriors versus New Orleans Hornets game? 48, 47, 46. 45.
I am going to say 48.
That is incorrect.
Oh, 47. I always love those. I love those questions.
Yeah.
Thanks, Shane. Which player led the 2008 Summer League in scoring with 29.9 points per game? was it, this is in 2008, Kevin Love, Ramon Sessions, Jared Bayless, or Brandon Jennings?
2008?
2008.
I'm just going to say Kevin Love. I have no idea.
That would be incorrect. It would be Jared Bayless. That was a tough one because I could have gone Love. I could have gone Jennings. The only guy I wouldn't have gone would be Sessions.
Well, Jennings didn't come out in 2008.
Right.
So that's why I knew it wasn't
your question.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Who were the co-MVPs at the 2012 Las Vegas Summer League? Would that be Josh Shelby and Damian Lillard, Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler, Damian Lillard and Kawhi Leonard, or Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler? Ooh, this is a good one.
I'm going to say Damian Lillard and Josh Shelby.
That is correct.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember that for some reason.
Because it's a reflection of what Summer League MVP wins means. Damian Lillard went on to be Rookie of the Year and an All-Star, and Josh Shelby played about 30 games.
Yeah,
I think it was for the Memphis Grizzlies in 2 years, and then it was see ya.
Wow.
And of course that means we got another winner. Does it again. My mic might have been a little hot just now, but when you're on a roll, you're on a roll.
You know, the summer league questions, you got them.
All right.
You feel good about those.
Yeah. Oh, look at you.
You should
every
feel good about
other
that
trivia
win.
Challenge
because
that we've had over
NBA
the last
questions.
Couple
the summer
years.
League doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Okay. All right. I feel good.
Good job, Duke.
I feel good.
Good job, Duke.
I feel good about all my wins. I'm going to treat them all the same, just like my kids. I love them all. It's now time for our featured guest, one Denzel Valentine with the Chicago Bulls. I caught up with him at Summer League, played with the Bulls. More important, had a chance to talk to him about sort of a whirlwind season, crazy season that he had his rookie year, and what his expectation is now that he's with a young group, with Jimmy Butler being dealt to the Minnesota Timberwolves, Chris Dunn coming in, moving up in the draft to get Lauri Markkanen, and then the addition of Zach LaVine, what his expectations were. We covered all of that. Here it is, my conversation with Denzel. Enjoy. All right, I'm here with Denzel Valentine for the BJ and Duker podcast. Denzel, a lot has changed with this Bulls team in the last, it feels like, since you came on board. You now have this young crew. You go from kind of a veteran-laden team to a young crew building. How do you feel about having a crew now that you're going to have an opportunity to kind of grow up with?
It's an exciting opportunity because, like you said, you know, we're all young guys, you know, with an exception of a few others, but I think it's a great opportunity because, you know, like you said, we get to grow up together. It's a challenge for us, and usually when you have challenge people, that's when you get closer and you get better. As long as the group has a common goal to get better and to, you know, try to win, you know, then good things are gonna come out of it. So I think it'll be a great challenge for us, and I'm excited for it.
You know, looking at the draft night and the Chicago team, even then, that you were going to be joining, and seeing you play in Summer League last year, I was thinking, you know what, there might be, like, Denzel might have a role. Like, you might be able to be in the rotation.
Yeah.
And then they added some older pieces, and it was suddenly like you got to scrap for minutes.
Yeah.
What ultimately did you get out of this past year, considering how much things changed?
I learned a lot, you know, just being with the older guys, you know, like Jimmy and D-Wade and Rondo, I learned a lot from those guys. And overall, I think it was successful, you know. It may not have been the year that I wanted to have. You know, obviously I wanted to win Rookie of the Year, you know, win, you know, be a starter, you know, play big minutes, but, you know, things always don't happen the way you want them to. You just gotta keep working, you know, keep going after it, and I thought it was successful.
How different is this summer league, having had a year in the league,
and then coming back here and experiencing it this way compared to when you first got here, this is your first taste of competition at this level?
Yeah. It's definitely different. Last year, he's a young guy. He's just out here just trying to figure it out. But, it's going to be expected, this year, with your team and, going out there and playing and stuff like that. So it's definitely different. I like the challenge. It's definitely a great challenge for me.
When you heard about the trade and you knew who was coming with Dunn and with Zach LaVine, I don't know how much did you know about those guys prior?
I knew Chris because we came out together. We played senior year against each other, mm-hmm. and then Zach LaVine. We played at the USA thing last summer after the summer league. So I knew both of those guys, knew Chris Dunn, better, but they seem like they're great guys. I've heard nothing but good things yep. about them. So so far they've been great. I think they'll be great additions to the team and helping us win.
What's the next step in the evolution for you with your game? Like, what's the thing that you want to add or you want to be able to do going into next season?
Well, first defensively, I just want to be able to guard 1-3, be versatile on the defensive end, be out there, get and that's how you stick in the NBA is defense. Everybody can play offense, but not everybody wants to go out there and guard. So defensively, I think I need to get better, be more assertive. As far as offense, just be more efficient out there, turn the ball over less, make my shooting percentages go up. And, I think once I do that, I'll be able to be out there on the floor and get better.
Hope you enjoyed that. Remember, if you are listening on iTunes, be sure to subscribe to the show so that you don't miss any of them. Rate and leave a review. It's important. We need to have the feedback, and our sponsors love to know that we are interacting with you. So good, bad, indifferent, it really does help us. Just take a minute, if you will, and leave us stars and whatnot so that we know how we're doing. Also, you can check out our website, bjnbucher.com. We've got a lot of stuff there above and beyond the podcast. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at bjnbucher. BJ, I've enjoyed it as always. And one of these days, I think that your jersey is going to be up there on the podcast wall of fame. I hope I'm not putting too much pressure on you. I know it's a new day. I know it's something we do these days. We wouldn't do that. You and I wouldn't have done this 15 years ago. I'm doing it today.
That's my guy. That's my guy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Rick Bucher that I know and love.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.